6 years after reporters uncovered a widespread Muslim surveillance program in the NYPD, the city is rolling out new procedures for counterterrorism investigations. It seems like a big change for the NYPD and for the plaintiffs who won a settlement with the city, but will it really protect Muslim New Yorker civil liberties? WNYC's Matt Katz reports.
Asad Dandia wears this red skull cap all the time.
To be honest, like I've only recently started wearing this, and I think it's quite stylish. Fashionable.
Not all Muslims wear it, but Dandia says he's got it on for religion and fashion.
Fulfills both of those requirements.
Dandia and his red skull cap stood out when I first caught sight of him at Washington Square Park after his Friday prayers at NYU's Islamic Center. He's a recent NYU grad, and he's headed back to the school for a master's degree. But the reason I asked Dandia to meet with me was because I was curious about his years before he got to NYU. Back when he was a student at Brooklyn College doing some charity work on the side.
I was a co-founder of a nonprofit charity called Muslims Giving Back in my early undergrad days when I enrolled at Brooklyn College. We hold soup kitchens, assisting the poor in poverty elimination.
This was 5 years ago. He was just 19. One day, he got a message on Facebook from a young man about his age whose name was Shamir Rahman. He wanted to volunteer with Muslims Giving Back.
He didn't really have an idea of where he wanted to go. In life, in terms of, you know, professional trajectory. He had some minor charges, misdemeanors, and so he was just looking for a community to, you know, sort of have that social support.
So they became friends. Rahman even slept over at Dandia's house, and Rahman became the most devoted volunteer in the whole organization, showing up to every event, donating to all their causes. In retrospect, though, there was a reason to be suspicious that Rahman was up to something shady.
But what he would do is that he would show up late after everyone else had signed in. And so he'd take a snapshot of all the names and numbers and emails that were signed in, and then he'd send it to his handler.
Turned out Rahman was spying on Dandia's tiny nonprofit for the cops. Dandia knows this because Rahman penned a confession in a Facebook post, apparently out of guilt. This was the kind of broad Muslim-focused surveillance that the NYPD began after September 11th, 2001, part of transforming the police into a counterterrorism operation that could stop another 9/11 before it happened, not just catch bad guys afterward. To do that, police informants infiltrated groups like Dandia's, and detectives with a secret demographics unit spied on as many Muslims as possible.
I refer to this as policing by religion, which to me, you know, is an absolute no-no when it comes to how you police a democratic society.
Professor Maki Haberfeld teaches NYPD officers at John Jay College how to police multicultural communities. She says the demographics unit was anti-democratic in that it went after people based on their religion rather than on specific information. Mosque crawlers listened in on sermons. Police rakers eavesdropped in Muslim-owned cafes and barbershops. After a 2011 Associated Press series revealed all of this, Muslim New Yorkers sued the NYPD. Dandia was one of the plaintiffs.
We were pushing back against what we believed was the unconstitutional and unwarranted surveillance of the Muslim community by the New York Police Department, which we believed impeded and infringed upon our rights to privacy, our rights to assembly, and our rights to just practice our faith freely without that sort of stigma from the very agency that was supposed to protect us.
After more than 2.5 years of legal negotiation, this spring, Dandia and his team settled. As part of the settlement, the NYPD agreed to never again subject an entire religious community to open-ended investigations. Here's Dandia's attorney, Ramzi Qasim.
This is the first time since 9/11 that any law enforcement or investigative or intelligence agency has had its ability to spy on Muslims limited in any way. Before, the NYPD could use undercovers or informants in mosques and community centers and political organizations as a first resort. What we've built into these revised rules is that now the NYPD can only use it if there is no less intrusive alternative.
The most striking change the lawsuit triggered is a new civilian representative who now sits on an internal NYPD committee that reviews investigations. That representative is a former federal judge and U.S. attorney in Connecticut, Stephen Robinson. He didn't respond to interview requests, and the NYPD declined to talk for this story. But John Miller, the NYPD's top counterterrorism official, addressed accusations about NYPD spying at a city council hearing last month.
This is all balled up into some kind of paranoia We operate under strict rules.
Miller brought up the new settlement to show how cops are addressing concerns about civil liberties.
The civilian representative is given unfettered access to the courts to communicate any concern arising out of his function on the committee.
In other words, if the NYPD crosses the line again, the civilian rep can report it to a judge. There's some skepticism. Professor Haberfeld says it may only take another attack perpetrated by Muslims for these new rules to be swept away. And Muslim leaders were angered that Mayor de Blasio appointed the new civilian rep without consulting them first. The bitterness that resulted from the NYPD surveillance clearly isn't going away for Muslims like Dandia anytime soon.
There's a climate of fear, right? There's a climate of worry that comes out when you learn that someone who prayed at the mosque was an informant.
Dandia says after word got around that his student group hosted an NYPD informant, the mosque where they were based asked them to stop fundraising there. And not only that, volunteers stopped showing up. Now, years later, the group has rebounded, and Dandia has a new job doing interfaith work.
Our Sunday school program, we actually rent out a space at Chabad of Chelsea. It's a Jewish center.
Dandia is also, if you just could tell, learning Hebrew. But perhaps most importantly, he's proud to have come to an historic agreement with the NYPD.
To have played an integral role in that is something that's very meaningful to me and something that I'm going to keep with me for the rest of my life.
He hopes it sets a national precedent for policing Muslim Americans. Matt Katz, WNYC News.